Looks like somebody prayed.
High five to your neighbor and say, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Would you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and when you're there, shout amen and hallelujah, because we have no sports teams that we can shout for in the state of Louisiana. Go LSU, perhaps LSU, there went a microphone. Matthew chapter 6, we're talking about your kingdom come, your will be done with this whole message, this whole series is a new series, and it's called the Upside Down Kingdom. And I want to start with a video for you guys from The Chosen, which is one of, it's actually not finished. They're taking that word for word from the books of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in this particular scene, you are going to see where Jesus comes and delivers what many would call the Sermon on the Mount. This is not the whole sermon. It's from Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is the sermon. But you're going to see this idea that Jesus is bringing the kingdom. Somebody say kingdom. Not our kingdom, not a citizenship that's on earth, but a citizenship rather that is in heaven. Now, the Jewish people were waiting religiously for the Messiah. It wasn't that they were not waiting for Messiah. They were waiting for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They knew that the fathers, Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua, these were precessors of the kingdom of God, and they were waiting for their king to come as a Messiah. But the kingdom that Jesus brings is what we're calling this whole month the Upside Down Kingdom. Today we're going to be talking about just these three words, your kingdom come. Everybody say, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Now, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1. And Jesus was bringing the kingdom. Now, there are stories, parables that he told about the kingdom of God. He would talk about a banquet and a great wedding feast. And he talked about a treasure that was, the kingdom of God was like a treasure that was hidden in a field. He talked about the kingdom of God being like a landowner who hired laborers to work in the field, and he paid them all the same, no matter if they worked in the morning or in the afternoon or in the noontime or the evening. The kingdom of God, he said, was like a mustard seed. So Jesus would tell stories or parables about the kingdom of God. But he would also give words about the kingdom of God. He said to us, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because they care about their riches more than they do about the kingdom. He said that the kingdom of God must be received as a little child. Like we were to take it and to believe it in faith whenever, as we were when we were kids or looking at kids. He said, and you heard it, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus told his disciples, he said right when they were taking communion, I think Ted referred to it during communion, and he says, we'll eat of this cup and we'll drink of this cup and eat of this, and he says, and I won't do this again until I enter the kingdom of God. So when Jesus introduces in Matthew chapter 6 this idea of the kingdom, they already understood that there was a kingdom. In fact, Jewish, they would say this, the Jewish believers, those that were waiting for the Messiah, would say the Kadash. And I have it on the screen this morning before we get into the scripture of Matthew chapter 6. The Kadash was a prayer that they would pray over and over again, waiting for the coming of the kingdom of God. And they would say this, exalted and hallowed be his great name. Sound familiar? It should. It says, exalted and hallowed be his great name in the world, which he created according to his will. May he let his kingdom rule in your lifetime and your days in the lifetime of the whole house of Israel, speedily and soon. So it was a prayer that the kingdom of God would come speedily and soon. They would say this, praise be his great name from eternity to eternity. And to this, they would all say, amen, let it be so. So they're waiting on the kingdom, but this kingdom is not coming to take it with force. Rather, Jesus is coming lowly, and he's coming with humility, and he's teaching an upside down kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. It says this, and this is the words of Jesus. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before the people in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, Jesus says, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. They may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, so it's a command to give, it says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. In verse 5, it continues, and this is bringing in the kingdom. It says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they might be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. So it's like this kingdom is here, but it's not a kingdom of rewards. It's not a kingdom of showing how much you give. It's not a kingdom of showing how much you pray, because those things, he said, if you do it out loud and in the public, you get your reward. But this kingdom is an eternal kingdom. It says in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So there's this feeling of, I do that with my giving. I do that with my prayers. I do this for kingdom living. Look at verse 7. It says, and when you pray. So again, Jesus is teaching his disciples, us, how to pray. He says, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask them. Pray then like this. And this message, your kingdom come, comes directly from these scriptures right here. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Sort of like the Kadesh, right? Exalted and hallowed be his great name. It says in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven. Let's read that one more time. Go back to verse 10. It says this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now this morning we want to talk about the kingdom. We don't have a kingdom. We live in the United States of America. So sometimes it is hard for us to think of a king and a kingdom and how to pray God in such a way that we are praying for God's kingdom to come down to earth. So we have 3 points this morning if you're taking notes. If not, they're on your Bible app. Make sure you grab one of those on your Bible app. It says in the first point this morning is a kingdom is one sphere of control. A kingdom is one sphere of control. I'll give you an example in my personal life. I don't have a kingdom. I'm a mother. I have a lot of kids. If you're a mom and you have a lot of kids, you have nothing that is private. There is nothing that is yours. There is nothing that is sacred. Can I get an amen from all the mothers? I don't know. Men have this way of like hiding. Like the Ted will go out and do woodworking or he'll go out to the gym. I don't ever get that opportunity like ever in my life. And I sit there. And one place that used to be my kingdom, or at least my place, my sacred place, was my car. I have a car. I drive it until my kids have started to drive. Now, my car was set. I don't know if you do this, but you set your seat. You set your steering wheel. You have on your music that you play with enough treble that overcounters the bass, because I'm getting older and I don't want to hear as much bass in my music. And so all these things are sort of fixed on my car until my kids decide that they're going to learn how to drive in mom's car, because nothing is sacred. And so they go into the car and they walk in the car. And so all of a sudden, my kids are of a, let's say, a different height stature than I am. If you know my children, that's a beautiful way of saying it. And so my seat gets moved, like really close to the steering wheel. And then after my seat gets moved, then they move the steering wheel down. Like, we got to pull it down, Mom, because we can't see. And then they start moving my mirrors, and they have all these mirrors, and they're moving all over the mirrors. And then I've got the rear view mirror that comes down so that they can see. And I get back into what was my kingdom. And I'm like this, really close to the car, and my knees are bumping into the steering wheel, and it's something to behold. And it's interesting because every time they drive, they do the same thing. That's the kingdom. That's something that was purpose, and that's sort of a little area of what used to be my space. Now, God's kingdom is called heaven. You probably, hopefully, have heard of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is a place where everything is perfect. It's without sin, it's without blemish, it's without tears, it's without death, it's without dying, it's without cancer. Come on, somebody. It's a good place. The kingdom of God is God's sphere of control. It's a place of joy, of truth, of grace, of health, of life. It's not just a mirage that we think about. It's a real, actual place. In fact, God's kingdom, in Psalms 47 verse 2 says, how awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King. He says over and over again that there is a kingdom that he owns, and it's called heaven. Many, many hymns write about this. One of the hymn writers said, I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode. Another hymn writer said, his kingdom is glorious. He rules over all. And another said, within the might of his kingdom, lo, all is just and right. It is a place that is coming. It says, and I love one of these songs that we sing, I think, a lot of times with our teens. It says, let heaven come. Because your kingdom, yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever and ever. God's kingdom is heaven. Somebody say heaven. But God's kingdom is also earth. He controls heaven, and everything is perfect there. But it also includes the earth. Psalm 47 verse 2 says, how awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. In Psalm 74 verse 12, it says, but you, O God, are my King from of old. You bring salvation upon the earth. Somebody say earth. It says, and David says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours, O Lord, is the kingdoms. You're exalted and heard over all. Now, we understand that God is in charge of heaven. But we have a harder time understanding that God's kingdom is also right here on earth. There's a tension. Because when you turn on the news, you say, is that God's kingdom? Whenever you open up a social media app and people are biting each other and, you know, how they do on social media. Whenever you look at war-torn countries, you say, God, I think there's a disconnect because I understand your kingdom is on heaven, but how do you also have a kingdom of God that exists on the earth? You can walk, we got a couple of pictures. You can walk into an AIDS clinic in Africa, and I have a picture of a young child that's dealing with AIDS. And you see that picture, and there's like a tension, right? Because this is an actual picture of an actual person who is an AIDS AIDS orphan in Africa. And you see that picture, and it brings something out on the inside of us, like, God, something is wrong with the kingdom. Or perhaps you walk down the nursing home. I know we have an elderly ministry here. And you walk into the nursing home, and there's room after room after room, and it's completely filled up with elderly people who are aged and at the end of their lives. And a lot of times those families aren't even around. And you think, God, something is off with the kingdom. Or you might ask yourself, the next picture is of sex slavery. And we know this to be true. In fact, even during the Super Bowl, one of the most corrupt times, there was people that came in and they were shipped in to New Orleans just to have sex slavery in New Orleans for the Super Bowl, for all the people that were coming in. And you look at that and you think, how, God? How is that a part of your kingdom? Because I'm not sure if that's what I would want the kingdom of God to look like. Now, John the Baptist was also confused. Remember John the Baptist? He comes in, and he has on these camels. Like, he's going through the desert. He's saying, Jesus is coming, and he's eating honey, and he's eating locusts. And at the end of his life, when he's in prison, he goes back to Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 13, and he says, Lord, is it you that's the king, or should we look for another? You can feel it, right? Like, there's a tension in God's kingdom. There is something that's not quite right. So point number two is there's a kingdom. But point number two, the kingdom of God is already, but not yet. I'm going to say that one more time. The kingdom of God is already, but it's also not yet, both at the same time. We see in the scripture, we see this in the Bible, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So Jesus was bringing in the kingdom. He says, if I drive out demons, he said, that's because the kingdom has come. So Jesus came and initiated the kingdom of God, and its coming to earth was extended because Jesus defeats Satan every single time. But Satan is a defeated enemy, not a destroyed enemy. There is a difference, right? Because that's why there's still this tension of this kingdom that is already, that Jesus brought. We celebrate communion this morning, and we understand that Jesus brought in the kingdom. It was refined. It came back with resurrection. Jesus said the same power that lives in Christ lives on the side of me. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus, the Christ. Jesus said, I am the first fruits, the great, the coming resurrection. But the kingdom is also not yet. Somebody say not yet. Because Satan is the ruler of this earth. It says that in 2 Corinthians. He is the god of this age. He is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now in work in the sons of disobedience. So though the kingdom has come, it's also a kingdom that is not exactly yet how it is supposed to be, because Satan has not yet been destroyed. Ephesians 2 and verse 2 says the whole creation is groaning in the pain of childbirth, waiting for the kingdom. We're waiting for the redemption of our bodies. As we age, we wait for that even more. Can I get an amen? You see that there's a tension, and we want the kingdom of God to be here, but we know that it's also not what it should be. It's an already kingdom, but it's a not yet kingdom. Famous preacher John Ortberg, he says this, I have it on the screen. He says, may up there, heaven, come down here, earth. In other words, God, we pray, may your sphere of authority, O God, be extended to this earth. Please arrange things down here just as you do up there. May your will be done on earth, God, as it is in heaven. May up there come down here. That's the heart of the prayer. That's what Jesus is saying. Your kingdom come. This is a prayer, if prayed, is always correct. You ever get confused on how to pray? Maybe a situation is way behind your control. You have no idea. Why not start praying, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? So you look at that picture again. Can we throw up that picture of the orphan that's in AIDS, that's in Africa and has AIDS? And here's our prayer. God, I don't know, but I'm going to pray this prayer because this is what you told me to pray. God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a good prayer to pray. Pray me for the elderly, next picture. You go and you pray this prayer. God, I don't understand all things, but God, I pray that your will would be done. God, your kingdom would come over that particular elderly ministry or that person. And maybe you have someone that you know, or maybe there's an urging on you to be a part of helping stop sex slavery, next picture. And you say, Lord, I don't understand how this happens. I don't understand how I can be a part, but God, I want to pray this prayer. God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know that this is not God's will. We know that this is not what God has done, but Satan, the enemy, has done, and we are to pray for God's kingdom to come. God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So to bring it home, we would pray for our neighborhood. So this morning, as I walk in our neighborhood, I've been walking faithfully, so I'm glad to announce that. And so I've been walking in our neighborhood, and in the back parts of our neighborhood are places that are a little bit more shady, shall we say. And so I walk through these bayou areas and swamps. And as I'm walking, you smell weed just coming permeating out of houses. And there's kids that are just sort of taking care of themselves. And you begin to see some things that are just not right. It's not like the kingdom of God. What do we do in those situations? God, I pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we begin to say, God, I am praying for the kingdom of God to come down here on earth, that your rule and your reign would happen in my neighborhood. You have a responsibility this morning. This is good news. You have a responsibility to say, God, I am part of the kingdom. Therefore, I am promoting the kingdom in your country this morning, where I am not even sure what will happen in the next 10 minutes in our country. I know this, that I serve a king, and the king says to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we begin to pray for our country. Maybe your family this morning. You're confused. You're scared. You want to control your family because we don't know how to shape it and help our families. And yet God says, why not pray for the kingdom of God to be evident in your family? That takes the stress off of us and allows God to do his work in our family. God, I am praying that heaven would come down. God, I am praying that your sphere and your authority, God, would be extended to this earth in this family. And you pray specifically for your family or for your marriage or for the place that you work in your office. At your church, we always pray this prayer, Lord, we don't even know, but God, we serve a God who knows, God, that your kingdom purposes would happen right here on the east side of Houma. God, that your will would be done. God, we know to pray that, God, your kingdom come. In my church, in my club, maybe you have a small group, young people, a club at your school. God, start praying for God in your places of influence. Maybe you have a small group. God, I pray, God, that in my small group, that there would be kingdom purposes, that we would align with the kingdom of God. If you own a shop this morning, start praying over your shop. If you have a staff this morning and people answer to you, start praying over your staff. God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth and as it is in heaven, in your heart. It's easy to pray for something that's out there, but God also wants the kingdom of God to come in here. God, praying for my heart and my attitude. God, I'm praying for the beliefs that I have, that I've walked in. God, I pray that your kingdom come. Everybody say, your kingdom come. May he set up things up there. But may he set up things down here. May he come down here. In other words, pray, God, may your sphere of authority come down here, God. We need you to make heaven come in this situation, God, in this area of our lives. God, we know that we're in a kingdom that is here, but it's not all the way come yet. So, God, our assignment, your assignment this morning is to simply say, okay, God, I step in alignment with what you have said in this upside down kingdom. Now we're going to teach things that are going to be unbelievable in the next 4 weeks. We're going to teach you how to love your enemies. We're going to teach you how to help and those in need. There are going to be some things, how not to be selfish. That's an upside down way of thinking in our culture. But this morning, we want you to pray this way. And so does Jesus. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So point number one, there is a kingdom. God is in control of both heaven and he's in charge of the earth. He is setting up things. He is setting up things. We know we approach the end time. The kingdom of God is already here, but it's also not yet completed as it will be one day. Your assignment is to pray that it will. And number three, only God can bring in the kingdom. See, notice what we imply in this prayer, that God is the owner and the author of the kingdom. So God is saying to us, allow his perfect will to be evident in your life. But not only that, in the life of the kingdom. We were talking with one of Ted's relatives the other day. He was sitting at our table. I don't know why he chose to sit with us, because he knew he was going to get some Jesus. And so he's sitting at the table with us, and it was a bunch of family members celebrating an uncle that had come into town from Texas. And so we're sitting there with him, and he says, you know, he said, it's only the moments. I only live for moments. And we were sort of sad because he's older, he's approaching elderly age, and we're looking at him, and Ted said, but I think, he said, you can't just live for moments, you have to live for eternity. And he looked at us, and then he left the table to go somewhere else because he wasn't quite ready to say, okay, I think that there is something beyond a moment, there is an actual eternity. See, that's the good news this morning. Only God can bring in this kingdom. So notice when we pray this prayer and we're asking God's kingdom to come, I'm not preaching self-help. I'm not preaching a social gossip message. No, this is a job for God alone. That's because Satan is a real enemy, not ignorance, not virus, not tectonic plates, and all these things that happen. Those are things that happen to us, but we battle a personality that is far beyond any of us. The Bible says that we battle against principalities and demons in high places that have been assigned, and our job and our assignment this morning is to say, God, make things right. Make heaven come down to earth, God, that we would have a place where you can call home. But also notice that when we pray this prayer of God's kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we're not just praying for God to work, we are also saying, God, we align ourselves with kingdom purposes. You this morning get the opportunity to partner with God. Dr. Tony Evans, love him. He always says this. He says, I'm a kingdom man. Before a Democrat or a Republican, before things that come in culturally, he says, I support the kingdom of God. My work and my assignment is for the kingdom of God. Your work and your assignment is to partner with God. So it means that he has an overall picture and he's bringing his kingdom to earth, but he also needs some people to work for the kingdom of God. That means you can work at your job, but you also, in the middle of your job, work for the kingdom. You have an assignment if you choose to accept it. Young people, as you go to school, you have an assignment to work for the kingdom of God, that you would believe that God would come down in such a way at your school that you would say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. At my job, at my school, at my neighborhood, with my attitude, with my shop, with my small group, my church, my club. God, I am praying, God, only you can bring in the kingdom, but I choose to partner with you in that assignment. The Lord's Prayer is a request. Yes, it is. But it's also a declaration. It's an affirmation. It's saying, God, we see you at work. We see your movement of the kingdom, but God, we want to participate in kingdom work, taking a vital part, Lord, in this opportunity that you've given. So this morning, maybe use your influence for kingdom purposes. Some of you have influence. You have opportunities within your culture, your family, in the ways that God has given you at your workplace. And you say, Lord, this morning, I am partnering with the kingdom of God. Maybe you have monies and you're establishing the kingdom of God. You say, God, I'm putting in my tithe and my offerings. Why? I'm establishing a kingdom work. What a privilege it is that we get to have 10% of our monies from Hope Community Church reach the kingdom of God in France, in Africa, in the Philippines, in Mexico. I'm just naming some of the places that your finances go. And the kingdom of God is working in those places because of the people that are giving right here at Hope Community Church. That's an amazing thing that happens when we participate in the kingdom of God, saying, God, not your will, not my will be done, but your will be done. We use our money. We use, some of you have giftings and talents. You have extra time. So you could come and say, okay, Lord, I have extra time. There's a cleaning crew that meets every Monday that would love to have you. We give out food on Mondays. We sort through food. Join it and say, okay, God, I want to do that. Perhaps a short-term mission trip. We're looking at going to Mexico sometime in the middle of the summer. Be a part of that work. Say, God, okay, I understand that my assignment is not just to sit here and pray your kingdom come, your will be done. Though that is a good prayer. God, we want your prayer heaven to come down. How do I participate in that happening in people's everyday lives? You have an assignment. If you have a gift, show up. Start praying on Sunday mornings at 9:30 right here in the other ladies' room and say, Lord, I am praying for your will to be done. God, your kingdom assignment. God, I am participating in this assignment. I'm not just praying, Lord. I'm saying, Lord, use me. That you would pray and say, God, what's happening up there would come down here. All of you in the room have gifts. All of you have some form of wisdom in the thing that you're good at. So all of us have mercy. All of us have faith. Some of us are gifted with hospitality and teaching and wisdom. Use them. Use them to invest it into the kingdom of God, because that is what happens for eternity. What you do here is just fading away. If it's for the earthly, the pleasures of this world, or the assignments of this world, and I'm not saying I'm against all things, you know, not having fun. Sure, go have fun. Go and take breaks, have vacations. Those things are good and necessary, but the ultimate purpose of our lives is that we would align with the kingdom, and then we would begin to say, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, use me. Can we play a song? I want to end with just a message today. One of my favorite, I love reading old books. I love reading books of people that are now with the Lord. So many people these days will tell you all kind of stuff that you want to hear. But I love the people that gave up their lives for the kingdom. I think what they add is invaluable wisdom. And they've lived it out. They haven't just said, God, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. They have lived out the kingdom. And probably one of my favorite books of all time, besides Corrie Ten Boom, would have to be Jim Elliot and Through the Gates of Splendor, Called by God to be a missionary young man in his 20s. And he knew the calling of God. Lord, I know that you have called me to reach a group in the Amazon. And he knew the purpose of God to an unreached people group. Never had heard of Jesus, never had even really seen people outside of their tribe. And God began to align things up for the kingdom of God. And he ended up marrying a wife and four other guys and their wives. All 10 of them said, you know what? I'm going to live for the kingdom, God. I'm going to align myself with kingdom purposes. I love this quote. I think we have it on the screen. Can you share that quote? I don't have it. He said this in his journal as he was writing before going into that mission trip that he was bringing his family into. He says this. He says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He was talking about everything. He's talking about his substance. He's talking about his wealth. He's talking about his life. He says, God, I can't even keep my life. I can't even keep my substance. I can't even keep those things. God, they're yours anyhow. So I'm not a fool, because I'm going to give it up to gain what I cannot lose. And that is the kingdom of heaven. That is eternity. That is where our reward is. That is where our treasure is. And so he says, I'm going to give it up, Lord, and I'm going to go. So they go down into the Amazon rainforest, and I have a picture of him. They took a plane down there. Him and his missionary friends, were going to travel into this Amazon tribe and tell them about Jesus. They had made some contact. It was very minimal. And they bring the plane in, and for whatever reason, no one really knows probably even to this day, and I know it's, you know, subjective what they thought, but they take it into the rainforest, and the wives are a little bit out of camp, and they're taking care of the kids and everything else, and these men make contact again with a Waka tribe, and they are in there, and the little guys, the tribe members, for whatever reason, took out spears, big old blow spears, and they hit Jim Elliot and his four friends, and they died. And they found them floating down the river, and their wives are trying to call them and see, hey, where's my husband? What happened? And eventually it was found out that those five men gave up their life for the kingdom. And there's been stories about it. You got to go watch it at the end of the spear. It's incredible, the story. And God ends up working miraculously. And the tribe ends up, his wife Elizabeth Elliot goes back into the tribe, lives with them, takes their daughter, lives with them, and she begins sharing Jesus to men who had just murdered her husband. And the one little guy gets saved in the tribe, and eventually the whole tribe turns their life to Jesus. And somebody asked Elizabeth Elliot, they said, well, isn't it good, right? Like, I mean, they gave their life to the Lord, and she said, God could have done whatever he wanted. He's in charge of the kingdom. Our job is just to give our lives to him. See, all you have to do this morning is give your life to the kingdom of God. And he'll lead you, he'll guide you, and he'll direct you. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? Most likely, us in the room will not be called to those places. You may be. Say yes. When you hear of the mission trip coming up, be at the meeting and say, okay, Lord, I'm willing. The kingdom is all about yeses. It's just saying yes to the next thing that God has for you. Maybe it's just a little bit closer to home. It's just saying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done in my family. God, your kingdom come, your will be done. God, bring heaven into my community. God, bring heaven into my school. You start praying that prayer and say, God, I want to be a part of this kingdom. God, I don't just want to say I attend church. God, I want to be a follower that like Jim Elliot says, I'm willing to lose everything for the kingdom of God. God, I'm willing to follow you. God, I'm willing to pray that your kingdom come, your will be done. God, bring heaven down. That's the upside down kingdom. As we anxiously await when all of these things will be made right. So maybe the Lord has even put on your heart this morning, one of those pictures really stirred you. You know, you can be an active part of something that stirs you, whether that's giving. Go find a way to give. Maybe it's just praying. Find a way and start praying. And maybe that's also the Lord is saying specifically to young people that can, or to single people, hey, get up and go. Find a way. Do something that will impact the kingdom of God. God wants to use you this morning in whatever capacity that you can be used. He's just waiting on your yes. Can I pray over you? Lord Jesus, God, I just thank you that you have assigned us with purpose. God, you have assigned us with plans. God, I pray that this prayer would be the anthem of our heart this week. God, that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven would be specific to us. God, to our families, our schools, our workplaces, our jobs. God, that the assignment on our life would be saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we will do it excitedly, Lord. We'll say yes to your kingdom purposes. God, we'll say yes to your ways. God, have your way. Heaven come down in this community. God, in this area of our lives. God, help us to be selfless, denying ourselves, picking up our cross daily. God, and following Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that there is coming a day when all will be made right. God, not just in heaven, but also on this earth. God, we wait anxiously for it. We wait anxiously for your arrival, Lord God. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. We love you guys. Go live for the kingdom this week. Go and have an assignment. We'll love to talk to you. No Wednesday night this Wednesday. We're taking a break off of Wednesday nights. The young people are meeting at Zach's Yoga Group. But everybody else, we'll see you Sunday at 10 o'clock. In Jesus' name, have a great weekend.